Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean and Founder of DirectionsU.com. I'm Gina Gaudio-Graves, and I'm calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, and I am so excited about today's show. Now, before I introduce my co-host and my guest, I got to tell you, today's show was not arranged in the last 2 weeks. We made arrangements to have this guest on the air weeks ago, well before we ever heard about an earthquake hitting Haiti. And I tell you that because I think it's important for you to know that there's a separate purpose for this call that's only in part related to the earthquake. My co-host today is Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com. And welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Hey, hello everybody. Thank you. It's always great to be here, and it's wonderful to have Dr. Cole here, and I have a surprise for her that she doesn't know about, and we'll tell you in a minute.
Oh.
I can't wait to hear about that. So, Rhonda, why don't you do the honors and introduce our guest today?
Sorry, I'm not looking at all the bio information, but...
Then we'll let her introduce herself.
I'll give you a partial, and Dr. Cole can fill in where I have missed the mark because I'm busy trying to get her surprise ready. So,
okay, gotcha.
Anyway, she is a dynamic speaker and author and physician and intuitive physician and somebody who dedicates herself to the health and well-being of women and most especially is part of the Angels for Haiti project, which we will be talking about in part. And, of course, this is only a part of why we have asked her as a guest before the earthquake in Haiti had happened. I would like to direct you that there is a blog post accompanying today's show that tells people how to make a tax-deductible donation. And so just check that, and I'll put it in the show notes as well. And Dr. Cole, we are so excited to have you here with us, and please fill us in on all the juicy things that I missed in your introduction.
I come from a humble background. By the way, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. I'm in beautiful sunny San Diego, and it's still morning. I was born and raised in Haiti. I'm from a humble background and never forgot where I came from, and I've been helping my family and people that I don't even know in different areas of Haiti. We have schools, a hospital, and personally built nine homes in Bizoton, which is about 1 mile away from the epicenter. Because I always felt if people could have a roof on their head, even though they will go hungry at night, there will be some decency in their lives. And unfortunately, everything that I've built over the past 30 years just vanished in 35-second shake. And it's been a very hard time for me, but a miracle that I've been able to do is that on January 17, when I was able to get connections with Haiti via Magic Jack, because it's difficult to the phone that did work. And I have been going for years feeding children one day, because I feel it's very important one day you give them a holiday. And I always take special time for the children. And I had stores, grocery stores, that they told me, you have credit. You can do anything you want, because many people will show up unexpectedly. So my brain was working, and I'm saying, what am I going to do? And you two women, one of my horror as a gynecologist was, let's say a woman is now, her home is in shambles, and she's having a period. What is she going to do? I couldn't have this, that was my nightmare. What is a woman to do when she's bleeding and she had a home and she ran, her home crashed? And then so I was able to, on credit, on credit with the faith that I will pay them back and with the faith that I will get donations. I have been feeding hundreds of people since July 17th. Since July 17th, and in remote areas that are where the people I've been working with over the years are, and they've been eating, having water, and up to now I found out that yesterday they were just getting some fresh water. So a lot of people are dying right now because there is no food. So I am, this to me, this I've been able to sleep at night knowing just water, simple water, will keep you alive. So, so that's what's happening.
Well, I am so happy to have you here, Dr. Carol. Ever since we met, I guess that was, what, about a year ago or so, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Ever since we met, I have often thought of you and the work that you do with Angels for Haiti and the other organizations that you are a part of, and I'm really inspired by people like you who really go out and make a difference for other people in what I see as huge ways, because you're really helping people who are the poorest of the poor. Any little thing you do has an extreme impact on them. And that, to me, is just amazing.
And the impact, we all connected. If the any impact, anything that happened anywhere in the world impacted us in the long run.
Absolutely.
We're all connected.
Absolutely.
And I feel so blessed that I, whenever, I, you know, people will say, you're a doctor, you're not rich, how come you're not rich? And I used to say, oh, I have a lot of real estate, like latrines that I had to fix. And after the hurricanes, there was always something damaged. Like we had four hurricanes in 2008. And then, but it's always, there is something that says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Because we are one step, one shake away from being homeless. We used to say, I used to believe that we were one step away, one check away from being homeless. We are one check, we are one shake away from being homeless. What we saw happening, yeah, it could be any one of us. Doctors, lawyers, archbishop, like in La Vallée where we have the hospital, we have pictures now, the nuns, everybody sleeping in the tent.
Right.
Everybody. One, there is no, I am this, I am that. 90% of the homes have been destroyed. So, But anyway.
Have you been to Haiti since the quake?
Oh, no. My medical team, you know, we have the Health Through Communication Foundation, where we've been doing programs here in the U.S. and other countries. We have the Angels for Haiti, and part of it is we have Dr. Charles René, who is in New Orleans. He was the one who asked me to come and join him in the other, in that area of the town. We have a small hospital. That hospital is standing. We are the only three operating room hospitals, so they just left in on Saturday. The reason is I am much better. Better help for them here in the U.S. doing fundraising and sending money. Now it's MoneyGram that is working. So I have to go and try to the donation into cash to send them to MoneyGram so they can get it, so they can continue feeding the people. Also, I told Dr. René, you go, we continue getting, we have some automatic supplies, we're going to ship them from New Orleans to Jacmel, so it's a long haul. But I am better, to be here in the U.S. doing fundraising and calling people and say help, because on credit, they're feeding the people for me. Because I've been doing it for years. I've been working scholarship for the children. You know, people go to the healththroughcommunications.org, healththroughcommunications.org, and you see all that I've been done and all the people that have been affected positively by the work we've been doing.
Yes. So I take it you've been in regular contact with the people who are on the ground in Haiti, correct?
Right, just right now. We have the one which is close, the people close the epicenter that have nothing, that have been eating, we know, been able to feed them with, because I got the credits from the grocery store that wasn't destroyed. I talked to them yesterday, and I was told that they only got some fresh water. I could hear the helicopter over going, you know, you can hear the noise, but they said the only thing they were able to get is fresh water, no food. So that means if the the angels for Haiti, we didn't get the credit for them to get the food on credit, a lot of people would have died. We imagine it's 2 weeks now that we had the earthquake. And then you need to understand the logistic. It is very difficult to be feeding millions of people. In that area, we have 3 million people that have been displaced. You know, just imagine in two blocks, two freeways not working, going in and out in any country in the world, you'll see what's going to happen with food distribution when everybody
right.
uses the food that are there. So just imagine, multiply it by 100 and 200 and 300.
So how are they getting food to people?
They are, but I heard they have long lines, and then but they are far away. And the people that I'm working with are in isolated area.
Right.
So the people in the isolated area, you don't have a way to walk miles to go and get to the lines. So and then they're doing the best they can, but a lot of people are dying. A pair of wounded are going to die. A lot of people are going to die. But at least because I'm proud of myself and the angels of Haiti. Because of what we've been doing, because it's not that we've not been doing that today because, oh, there is an earthquake, let's go. We've been there in the community with respect,
right.
respected for years. So I was able to, when I called them, I said, please give me some credit. Let the women come and give them tampons, you know, pads, not Kotex. And give them that because, like I said, it was my nightmare for the women. You know, and you could have been visiting, and this thing could have happened. You know, could have been a tourist, and then finding yourself.
Oh, and going through that when you don't have clean water and all ways to clean yourself and all—it's bad enough when you do. You know,
yes.
Can you imagine? My surprise is all set and ready for you, Dr. Carole. You had sent me a message with some pictures in there, and I thought, oh, it's harder to put the pictures onto the thing. And I went, I'll make you a video, so I did.
Wow.
That
shows
pictures. And it's up in the show notes right now for today's show. And today is the 26th of January, 2010, in case you're listening later. And it's a link to it's in the blog post. BTR keeps changing their format on things on me, and I was looking to see where I could put in HTML code and couldn't find it. But I put a link to the video in the blog post for today. And I made you a video with those images that you sent me, and of course the link to healththroughcommunications.org, where you will make your tax deductible safe donation and ensure that the donation does go to the people of Haiti and not into some greedy person's pocket.
But you know what? They're already eating that donation because whenever I found that I have the hope of the donations, I could say, feed more people today. I can just call us and send an email. So
right.
That's wonderful. I am trying to, yes, I'll take a look at it. Yes, wonderful. Thank you so much.
And I've just, Dr. Cole, I've just sent you the link to the video, and it's all over the place, not just on YouTube, but I sent you the YouTube link, so you can use that,
God.
And I'll be happy to send you the actual video itself as well if you'd like.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Sure. Oh, thank you, Rhonda.
This
show, as you know, is called Relationship Marketing 101. And what I really want to talk about is not so much just what's going on in the last 2 weeks with Angels for Haiti and what's going on in Haiti, but what's gone on over the last several years and how relationships have really made a big difference in growing this organization. So let's start a little bit further back. One of the things that I've been really disappointed by in the last 2 weeks is, sure, there's a great outpouring of generosity from all kinds of organizations right now because of the earthquake and because it's so visible, and it's on every news channel, every newspaper and whatnot. But where were these organizations and where were these people the last 10 years when these people needed help? You're someone who's been there for 10 years plus.
Oh, more than
that has really
years.
Made
more
exactly.
Years.
That's really been making a difference long term. Let's talk about the relationship that you have both with the people and with those in other parts of the world that are allowing you to do this great work. How does that relationship work?
the way it works is just like, for one thing, people say, okay, you're a doctor. Yes, you come from a poor background, but you could have taken the high road and say, you know, I don't have to remember where I came from. I was always proud of who I was, and I would say sometimes we were hungry. My father was having problems with political problems years ago, and then we couldn't have any food, and then I remember going to bed hungry, and then I would say, oh, Grandma, I'm so hungry, I cannot go to bed, because my mother was too poor to raise me, so I went to live with my grandma, my father's mother, and he would say, Grandma, I can't sleep, I'm hungry, and she'll pray, she'll stand by the bed, rub my belly, and she will say, une mauvaise nuit bientôt passée, this hard time can't last. And she said, that's okay, baby, you'll be okay, and always give me the idea was to get an education. Whatever you have, you share. And I never forget one day I was at, she had like $5, we're going to do the grocery for a whole week. And I said, Grandma, can I have some ice cream? She said, no, baby, there is not enough. And the poor lady came with a hungry child and said, Mom, can I have something? She gave her $1. I never forgot that. I was 9 years old. I was so shocked. And I said, Grandma, how could you give her $1? I wanted an ice cream for 10 cents. She said, baby, when a mother comes and the child is hungry, you have to help. And then so I never forgot that. So regardless, you know, I'm here. I had the opportunity to come to America. There were a lot of sacrifices made. But the end result was, I could be making some good money, but I never forgot that lesson. I never forgot that lesson to go and give back. And when people say, you are giving back, you're proud of where you come from, I'm going to help. And it's also part of what help in business. When you have a business and people know you are willing to serve, you're willing to be of service to your clients, you're willing to go, you know, to do a little extra step, you're going to be successful. So it's in any part of life. And it's so easy to be with the status quo. It's so easy to be comfortable. But in any part, in a relationship, in business, with your children, with your neighbors, when it's just like simple things that I have a beautiful healing center where people come and have lots of fruit trees and have papaya. I have guavas, and I have, you know, in California, this is a miracle. So what I do, I will take a little basket, and I will just go and give to my neighbor. I know that they could go and buy it at the store, but it's grown. I grow it from my hands, and then we have a relationship that I care, even though just a little gesture. And what we're doing the show is about your relationship with business relationship. Yes, we could have the internet. We could have all these things that is still the one-on-one. It's still whatever you're doing, even though doing a video, you know, the little, it's just like whatever business you would have, Rhonda, I would want to continue doing business with you. Here you are. I know how hard it is to take extra time and just do the little things on YouTube, you know, and this is what works in any aspect in somebody's life.
It really makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yes. The little extra touch.
Absolutely. The Haitian people obviously know your organization well because you've been there for so long.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect your ability to really do the work that you do?
For example, they know I'm about action. I'm an trained as an OBGYN, but as a medical intuitive, I only have the center here in San Diego where women come and rest and be. And if you want to get more information, go to drcarolle.com. But then what happened is, knowing that when I go to my training as a surgeon, I only do medical care in Haiti for free. When I go there for the past years, I would say, okay, we're having a meeting. For example, the governor, the mayor, everybody, they are men anyway. Most 99% of them are men, and I usually have the power of taking men and twirling around my fingers. And I would say, all right, today I'm presiding. And then they know I'm about action. I say, we have point A, we're going to point B, we have 1 hour, and then do you want the results? They say, yes. You know, they speak French and da-da-da-da-da. They take a long time. And then I said, okay, I'm leaving tomorrow to go back to the U.S. We're going to make things work. So what are we going to do? We want to do this for the school. We want to do this for the hospital. And my surgical brain, I have the capability. I've been doing it for years to just go and get results. And then we need this for this hospital. Like, we didn't have any running water. I said, what kind of hospital with no running water? And then I said, okay, we're going to raise funds to fight to do a water tower. By the way, the water tower survived the quake. So I just say to people, I want to have a water tower. And then we raise the $50,000, put the water tower, and decrease the incidence of disease in the hospital. Just simple. So over the years, they know I'm about action. And then I'm not doing anything for self-grandiosity. I'm doing it where there need be. For example, I'm a doctor. I go to the hospital to see patients. I said, this is a waste of my time. People are coming with typhoid. And then I need to know, what is the water they're drinking? So I go there. They have 12 fresh water. But when we have a hurricane, they destroy the things they built to protect the water, so it's dirty. So I said, okay, that's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to fix the water. And then we go do the fundraising and come back. The water is fixed. We decrease the incidence of typhoid. So it's just like the way it's been working is that they know I'm about action and I get results.
So it's interesting because what you're talking about is pretty much what I teach. You don't just say, okay, what's our first step and go out and do it. You mm-hmm. first look at what the outcome must be in yes. order to achieve the result you're looking for, and yes. you use that outcome to define what action you take.
That's it. You go backward.
Exactly. And yes. for so many in their own businesses, that just seems counterintuitive. But if you do it that way, you avoid all the bullshit. You don't have to go and redo things. You don't get them wrong the first time. You get them right because you're on the right path every time.
And you know what? And also, if you get it wrong because things change, for example, the earthquake, I've changed so much. It's just like rethinking. So it's going, you were like on the red carpet and they pull the carpet and you fall on your face again. And you think, I have done, when I had my practice as a private practice as the OBGYN, and then it's the same thing. I always have to reinvent myself and say, hey, what I saw was the most important person is that patient who trusts me, and many of them will come from far away because they trust me. I will listen to them. I will take time. I never had a busy practice. And then so every time I reinvent myself, what is the best way to serve that client, that patient?
Yeah.
And then go back. And then because wherever now, whether they come on a first Thursday in time to be, whatever I'm serving them in whatever situation, whether it's in a big seminar or on a webinar or a teleconference or one-on-one or doing a retreat, private retreat with me, they get the end result is that they would have been transformed. I serve as their mirror to know where they are, whatever aspect in their lives is not working. And that's the point B. That I've always kept in mind, and so I've morphed, transformed, and oh, by the way, I have to say that I am having lunch in an hour with Louise Hay.
Wow, she's a very awesome person. I learned a lot from Louise Hay through her books. I've never met her personally, but she's great.
She saw me. We were talking about transformation. So I first quit obstetrics. I didn't know what am I going to do. I needed time for my patients. But the managed care, the malpractice insurance, meant that I have to spend more, less and less time and to with my patients. They were dissatisfied. I was dissatisfied. And in 1997, I met Louise, and she said to me, she came in. I didn't know who she was. I was speaking at a conference. She walked up to me and looking at me in my face. She said, you are medical intuitive. I didn't know what the word meant. What are you doing in Western medicine? And then it took 2005, we're having dinner at her house with Christian Northrop, and then her, and he said, tell her what you're doing. And I said, I've quit medicine, and I'm going to do my work as a consultant, as an intuitive. And we gave high five to the three of us. It was the highlight of my life. And so what happened is, it always, the woman who come to me as a surgeon, as a gynecologist or as a consultant or as an intuitive consultant, she's in pain. Things are happening in her life. She doesn't know what she's going to do. I've used my skills over the years and say, how do I serve her? How do I serve her? And it wasn't easy. So when you have a business, and also I went into medicine to be a doctor, I didn't realize I was, as a private practice, I was inheriting a business. I didn't have an MBA. So it was always difficult, but in the end, and I'm still searching, in the end now I take the time. Like I said, I tell the women, if I work with women who are ready to heal and looking for a path for a quality life, and if you're ready, you come to me and talk to me over the phone or spend time with me here in that beautiful center, or when I'm speaking somewhere, you will get results. So I constantly have to look at point B from where I am, reinventing myself every day to see how do I serve that client who's standing far away in point B.
And this is a really important lesson for people to learn, because I don't care what kind of a business you're in. I don't care who your clients are. It's always about serving that client's needs first. Mm-hmm. And only because of that serving is it something that can end up making
you, know what?
You money.
Can you do me a favor? It seems Haiti is on the other line. You can. Can I take that call? It's so difficult to get a
call.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Hold on.
We'll talk. Go ahead.
Hello?
And, yeah. That,
oh, they already hung up. Yes.
Oh, if
I didn't
they
want
call
to
back, Dr. Carroll, you answer
yes.
that, okay?
Yes, because they give me updating what they need to do, what, so we are, you
right.
know,
that's
updating.
That's the priority.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
So what I was saying was that no matter what type of business you have, whether you're in a product-oriented business or a service-oriented business, it's still about serving your clients. And Dr. Carroll has repeatedly said that she's reinventing herself one patient at a time. Well, I don't care what kind of business you've got, you're doing the exact same thing. You're going after one ideal prospect at a time. You're serving the needs of that one ideal prospect, and then you're moving on to the next ideal prospect to help serve their needs as well. And if you transition from thinking about the people that you deal with on a regular basis as customers, and you instead look at them as clients whose needs you will serve, not as a group, but as one person at a time, much
the
way Dr.
Yep.
Carroll has had to do this through her medical practice, that is the thing that is really going to make the greatest difference in your business. And you're right. Although this is a medical practice, it very much is a business.
Oh, it is a business.
Right.
I didn't know. Otherwise, I would have gone doing an MBA.
Absolutely. And
that's what happened with women, with entrepreneurs, men or women, especially women. They said, I'm going to go and I'm going to do a business, and they're going to, you know, sell something, but they don't realize this is a business, and there are some rules and regulations. There were some things you do, otherwise you're going to fail.
Yes, and it's not about selling, it's about serving.
Serving.
Sales
also,
happen through service.
And also one of the
right.
things that is the women who come to me, whether they're having whatever symptoms, bleeding, anxiety, they cannot sleep, not having sexual problems, and they're telling them it's their hormones. By the way, my next book is called Is It My Hormones or Something Else? So usually, especially for those who are working entrepreneurs, they don't have boundaries. They don't know how to set the boundaries at
right.
home when they're working at home, where this is work and this is home.
Yes. And you have to have those boundaries.
Yes.
That's very true.
Yes.
Even people who are doing a business out of your home, one of the issues a lot of people run into, especially at first, because that office is just right off the kitchen or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's so easy for people to get sucked into working constantly, where usually you started this to have some level of freedom. And so even though you want to serve people and you want to be there for them, you still have to take care of yourself and keep yourself well, or you can't serve them.
And then one of the things is, it's very difficult for women they are being trained and being told and expected to serve everybody else before themselves.
Yeah.
And they're just like like a battery. You cannot have anybody suck the light out of you. And when you're on the plane, they say, if there are no oxygen, first you put your mask and give to the others. Women do it differently. So that's the reason many women are experiencing emotional and in the long run, physical symptoms and believing it's something else when it's not taking care of themselves. That's what's causing the problem. It's so difficult to, for example, if you have small children or children, because you are a mother, you are a wife, or you could be a single parent and a business person. You're wearing so many hats, and it end up wearing you down.
Yeah. And even within your business, you've got so many different hats to wear.
Oh, let's not even talk about the business.
If you try to take it all on your own, you're just all consumed. You don't have anything to give to those customers and those clients.
That's it. So there has to be a certain balance. And many times what I teach, women will come and my life is upside down, I'm bleeding. And I just show them, you just need to take a step backward, see how long have you been having this particular problem, and then go backward, what happened? What is the imbalance in your life that is causing you to be sick? And many times it's something at work, the boss, and especially now with the economy, I might be fired or my business is not working. I might have to go and get a job. And then you hear about the only unemployment rates growing, no job. So it could be very stressful, and then all this will in turn affect the emotions and the physical body.
Yeah. And so this is very true in my own life. I had very physical symptoms. You could take test after test after test and really see how physically sick I was. But it had everything to do with the same types of things that we're talking about now. Your beliefs, the other things that you don't think of that are in your life that are very negative that were causing that illness to persist. Yes, it was physical, but it had a very emotional, mindset-oriented cause. Yes. And until I could fix that element, the physical part could not be overcome. No amount of medicine was making me better. I just kept getting sicker.
That's right.
So it's an important lesson, especially for women to learn, because women tend to be caregivers by nature. And we do tend to give ourselves away without even thinking about it. And until we stop and really work at making sure we're okay and giving ourselves the things we need, we can't do a good job of serving others.
Right.
And we have to serve ourselves first. It's very difficult. And many times as women have anger, anxiety, irritability, it's because they are in the double situations where they want to please. Their sense of who they are is so low, they want to please, but at the same time they resent it. Or
yeah.
At the same time they feel, I have to, culturally, some people feel you have to, and then you say, hey, I would like to take care of myself. We're going to be told, hey, you are my mother, or you're my wife, aren't you going to do what you used to do? And people don't know how to deal with you when you start looking.
Have you ever read a book by the author John Gordon called The No Complaining Rule?
No.
Outstanding book. It's a book that's about overcoming negativity in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
How do you live
right.
with all of those whiners and complainers in the workplace?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the points that he makes in the book is that you really don't have to do anything. There's only one thing that's inevitable, and that's death. Everything else in life is a privilege.
Yes.
And even having a job is a privilege. Having a business is a privilege. Having children is a privilege. And raising those children is likewise a privilege. You don't have to do it. You get to do it. When you can really look at life in those terms, is it a have to or a get to, it can totally change your mindset and your beliefs and make you feel much less negative about it. Because it truly is a privilege. just like pain. There's a great book called The Gift of Pain. And early on in my illness, dealing with the amount of pain that I was dealing with was something that was really negative and really affected me in a very bad way. And as a result, I kept increasing my level of pain. When I truly started looking at pain as a gift, and I did that by thinking about people with leprosy.
It's Hazy calling me.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Go for it.
Keep talking.
Go.
I'll be back.
When I really started looking at pain as a gift, as a privilege, not something I had to have, but something I got to have, and I understood diseases like leprosy, where people don't get to feel pain, but that also means they don't get to feel pleasure, too. That's
right.
When things really started changing for me in a huge way.
Oh, yeah, I can certainly imagine. And it really, and I was laughing, when you mentioned the name of the book, the reason I chuckled is because I was thinking about when, if you are going through a time where you're transforming yourself and deciding, hey, I'm not going to let people use me as the doormat or expect things from me, I was thinking, buy half a dozen copies of that book and hand it out to those people around you so that they won't gritch, whine, moan, and complain, oh, mom doesn't do the dishes anymore, whatever it is, you know. And that's why I was chuckling, because things like that, as you're changing yourself, as you're deciding, hey, I'm going to put my own, you know, life vest and oxygen and whatever and take care of me, it actually makes you more able to do what you need to do. But not everybody sees it that way, especially those people who are accustomed to you doing whatever it is that you normally do. And so if you, as you maybe think of, oh, let me help prepare them, and you just say, no complaining, and hold up your book and remind them that this is what it is. And there really is so much as a privilege. And people sometimes laugh at me when I say, oh, as I take a shower or drink some water or eat some food, I'm just saying, oh, I'm so grateful and blessed to be able to do this. And I sincerely do feel that very, very strongly. And then, you know, you see various things happening like this earthquake in Haiti, where drinking some clean water so easily for me is such a big deal, and it's not always possible for other people around the world.
And I am back. I am back from, I got the call because they were asking, they were asking me what to do. And I said, you know what, I'm doing a show. I'm sure there'll be more donation, because they, like I said, I got the credit, and then they will give the food for me. Because I asked, have you gotten any food? They said they got some water yesterday, but then there is nothing. Some of the people, they had to walk far away to go on the line, but there is nothing. So, but anyway.
Oh, my.
So. But anyway, let's continue the show.
Well, on one of the websites that I reached from, the drcarol.com site, and let me repeat the URL, it's www.drcarolle.com, drcarol.com. I think it's the healththroughcommunications.com website, where it talks about the need for planes and helicopters to transport doctors and medical supplies. Is that the biggest need that you guys have right now? Or if someone really wanted to help, how should they best help?
The best help is donate the money. Because
okay.
The money, like Dr. Renee is on his way, we're looking for transport for the second wave of team for who will come and relieve them in 2 weeks. But also we have a barge in New Orleans that we need to transport with all. What happened is we had a charter plane. It only takes so little in the charter plane. But we need more, and people are donating in New Orleans. We have also all the orthopedics, all the things they need, drills, casts, and we need to transport them. So what we need is money to ship, money to find something to hold the barge, and money. That's what we need.
Okay. Well, I have emails out to a few friends that I have who own planes that could potentially help make a difference. So I will certainly let you know if I hook up with anyone that does have a plane that can be used in this.
And,
if
and
people, go ahead.
Okay. I have the team. I have the team in New Orleans. Who the medical team comes from there, and I'm in constant contact with them and what is the best way to do. So whatever help we get for that, that would be grateful. But in the meantime. So the people are sick and or dying, but there are the people who are alive that without water, fresh water, food, or exposed. A lot of people, I'm talking to them, they say that they are like in the mountain, and then they have only bed sheets for shelter day and night. So at night, there are a few tents, so we need money to buy tents to stand with the barge. This is what is needed.
And if people want to donate money, where should they do so?
There is the health through communications.org, and then where they can donate quickly via PayPal, or they can mail it to Health Through Communications, Angels for Haiti, P.O. Box 2348, La Mesa, California, 91943-2348. So you can donate online or send a check.
And I assume that the instructions for sending a check are also on the website?
Yes.
Yes, they're also on our website for the show. There's a blog post. The URL is in the show notes. Everything is there as well so that you can click it. And the URL is health through communications.org, H-E-A-L-T-H, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, C-O-M-M-U-N-I-C-A. T-I-O-N-S.org, Health Through Communications.
Well, I just hung up from my good friend Rick Benatow, who's one of the co-founders of 10MillionClicksForPeace.com, or .org, and you can get there at fggg.com/peace, P-E-A-C-E. And Rick and Julian from 10 Million Clicks had indicated that, number one, they wanted me to pass on their hellos and let you know that they have Angels for Haiti and all of the people in Haiti and their thoughts and prayers on a regular basis right now.
Thank you.
Always.
They also would like to reach out to the members of 10 Million Clicks to help bring in some donations specifically for the additional needs of those in Haiti right now. So I promised to let them have a copy of the recording from this show, so that we could also let 10 Million Clicks members know how they could contribute and participate and help for Haiti.
I'll get that to them, Gina.
Thank you.
But one thing I want to say, I'm always there for the long run. I'm not, that's what I didn't do, emergency medicine, somebody's sick and I take care of them. I always see the long run. Yes, we can give them food and water, but for there was a certain sense of decency. The things we've built that have been trashed, like you see the pictures that you see, those are the things that took 3 years to build over the years to all these homes. There will be a need for helping these people that work so hard and get whatever help was done totally destroyed to rebuild with decency. So it is going to be a continuous, so we know, you know, things are tough here in America. But then America, there was one of the most, Americans are one of the most generous people. So what I'm asking is, stay with me. So because this is the long run reconstructing all the damage. Yes, we hear, yes, so they give so much money. But just imagine, when you have they had a fire in San Diego, the people who had insurance, money, and job are still not able to go back to their homes.
Right.
Because it's bigger than that. So the extent of the damage is not now, let's feed them. It's the extent. How do we build those lives? How do we build people's? A lot of people don't have a bank account. They put all their money in their homes, so whatever they can eat, they feel they can eat and survive. Now they are homeless and as poor, but homeless.
And jobless. They don't have any prospects for income.
And so I'm looking for companies that have tents that can give, we can get there.
Right.
I'm looking for people who can help rebuild little homes, because the government or the Red Cross and all those things, they are for relief. They're not there for the long run. And there is a long run. There is so much. So people like me and my team, the Angels for Haiti, who've been working very hard and created everything, or even the people in La Vallée who built the hospital with their own hands. We would have never had a hospital for me to join. So we have all the things we need, 90% of the things destroyed. So we have a team where we have a way, we have a plan to go and start. So
right.
Well, and that's what I think the difference is with Angels for Haiti and Health Through Communications. versus many of the other organizations who are collecting money for aiding Haiti. I think the difference is that you guys are there for the long haul. You're not just going to be there for the next couple of months to help with the cleanup and help during the time that it's visible. You're going to still be there long after all the cameras go home.
Oh, and we were there before. We built those things that have been destroyed. That's why we were so destroyed.
Exactly.
It's so hard to build this, to give this some decency to the people. So
you've been there for so long, you have a relationship with the Haitian people that these other organizations really don't have. And I've seen some news reports, and I don't watch the news often, so for me to see these, it's like I happen to catch them in a restaurant, and it's appalling. I see organizations that are trying to bring aid in, but they're organizations that have never had a presence in Haiti in the first place.
Yes.
And they come in with the aid that they wanted to give, not necessarily asking what aid the people
that
really are looking for.
What do they need?
And then they make a big deal of the fact that the Haitian people are not warm and receptive to them. Well, my goodness, if you're going into these people who are in a state of shock, in a massive stress condition, and you're trying to impose your thinking on them, what kind of response do you think you're going to get?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not a very warm, welcoming reception, no matter how much money you've got to spend for them. Until you can really think about who they are, what problems they have, and start by building the relationship with them, don't expect them to come welcoming you with open arms.
But, you know, also, I have to say, there are many religious, non-religious people that have been going through Haiti for years and help. Many, many of them. We sometimes we work together. And many, many of them have been going and are going now helping because they know the need. They know the need. So, and they are not the ones that are going to be on camera. So, and I want to thank them for doing that because they've been there before, and they will be there after the cameras have left. They will
precisely.
Be the ones, yes. Picking
and
up
so
right.
When people are looking for organizations to give donations to,
mm-hmm.
the organizations that you choose should not be just based on what percentage of money gets to the victims that are looking for the relief and that really need the assistance. It should also be a decision that's based on who's been there that has relationships and who will be there for the long haul.
For the long run.
To me, that's a much more important question that you should be considering in choosing who you make your donations to.
And for example, the Clinton Foundation that I know of, the Habitat for Humanity, the Red Cross, I've been doing a good job. But Red Cross is for now, and then, you know, relief right now. And then so if you want to donate, we have been the Health Communication Foundation with the Angels for Haiti. So like I said, it's not only, there are many, many people, and I know they're bringing solace in on those remote area where there is no camera. And I need to thank them for my people for doing that.
Yes. And I know there was a news excerpt on, I guess it was about a week ago this past weekend, where there was a hospital in, I think it was right in the capital, that was really in bad shape structurally. But it was the only hospital in the area for people to bring victims to. Was it?
That's where I was born.
And the security guards... The security guards were in there insisting that the doctors and nurses leave the premises. And on CNN, their staff doctor, who was really there as a journalist but ended up becoming a doctor, he was the only one that stayed to handle all of these patients because the security guards were insisting that the other doctors and nurses leave. And near the airport, there was a tent set up for people who were really, really, really in bad shape. People who were bleeding internally, who needed massive surgery, people who had bones sticking through their skin, and they didn't have any place to bring these patients. They tried to bring them to that hospital, but they were turned away. They managed to find ambulances and helicopters that could take them about an hour away to bring them to a different hospital that didn't get as much structural damage, but they were way over capacity. So even though they brought the patients to this facility, they were turned away there too. And in each case, they kept ending up back in the tent.
Yes, too many sick. Oh, one of the things I want to mention also, people, Wyclef Jean, the Grammy Award winner was on CNN, and is Yele. He's been there in Haiti for years. So I don't watch televisions, but Louise have asked me, what do you think of him? I said, I trust him because he's been there. So it's just kind of people with Wyclef Jean, or Wyclef Jean, that's how you pronounce it, who've been there before, now, and will be again afterwards.
Absolutely. And these are the kinds of needs that the people have. I mean, there are people who are so sick, they can't make medical decisions for themselves right this minute, but they need help the most.
Yes.
I know that last night my husband and I went to dinner at a Cheesecake Factory, national chain here in the States. We walk in and there's a big box that says, help for Haiti. And inside this box, it's a really big box, like the size of a refrigerator. And in the box, there's one package of diapers. And I said, well, what's the box for? And she said, oh, we're just collecting help for Haiti, and we're going to send this box to Haiti. And I said, well, what kind of help are you looking for? And she said, well, the U.S. government has suspended all costs associated with adopting Haitian children. And we can now, here in the States, get children from Haiti to adopt very easily and very inexpensively. So what we were doing with this box is we were collecting things that can be used in transporting these orphans to their new families here in the States. And I thought about it, and to me, I'm going, yeah, now I know why that box is empty, if that's what it's for. Yes, these children may be without parents, and they may be recently orphaned because of the earthquake, but I doubt very much that these children are really interested in just up and moving to the States because of that circumstance. Do you know anything about the U.S. government doing this right now?
No, I don't know what, but I have friends that have been trying to adopt, and then because it was so easy before and people were using it in the wrong way, they had to make it very rigid. So what I've heard, if you have had, like a friend of mine, apply to adopt a child, you could just go and pick that child up. So,
okay.
That's what I heard.
And are there a lot of orphan children there looking for homes right now?
No, I don't know.
I would assume that it's still too much in a state of chaos to even know that.
Oh, there is. Oh, I'm sure there is, but I don't know the details. I don't know the details. I know they have always had a lot of orphans. I have one of this organization that I help, our little brothers and sisters. They had a hospital, and then also I have one orphan that I send money. Even before I started doing things in Haiti years ago, I was helping, so I continue to help our little brothers and sisters. They have a hospital where, not too far from the epicenter, where they have a lot of orphans that they're taking care of. So I do know, I don't know much details. And I do know that orphans it's easier to adopt an orphan.
Gotcha. Well, I know that there's an organization called SeventhHaven.org. It's the number 7, THAVEN, SeventhHaven.org. They have a way to build buildings that are geodesic domes, and they are built using a substance called grancrete. Grancrete is a different form of concrete. And it's something that's extremely lightweight and easy to transport. But because of the fact that it's a geodesic dome, it stands up to high winds and earthquakes and whatnot extremely well. The cost of building a geodesic dome home that could house about 15 to 20 people is under $15,000. And two people can put this up in a matter of a couple of days. It's extremely easy to do. I would think that having structures made from these domes with this grandcrete would be something that would work extremely well in Haiti. And I can certainly put you in touch with the founders of that organization if you're interested.
Definitely. Oh, definitely, because what I'm interested is, and it's something to be able to do that very quickly for those homes, that especially in Bisoto next to the epicenter, the pictures that you see, so to have for these people to have a place to stay. Because just imagine now, we're going to have the rainy season coming. We don't have the rainy season. We're in January.
Yeah.
Just imagine when the hurricane, the rainy season, with all these people exposed like this. But anyway.
Well, that's only a couple of months away. It's not that far off.
Yes.
And these are really easy to put together. You don't need big crews. Literally, they come in a set up in a way that you'd have to have a plumber come in to connect the things for the plumbing, and an electrician would come in and just do the main connections. But other than that, the entire structure can be built by two people by themselves.
So that's why we need the donations, and the donation can buy it. For example, I will be ready to. I know I'm going in July with the Annie experience with Adrian Belafonte, Ari Belafonte's daughter. They've been going to Africa, and then they contacted me, and I said they're going to go. We're going to plan to go, and so we'll be having a team for water and everything. That's in July for the reconstruction plan. But if any time I can raise enough money, and we can send through New Orleans and the where we send the medication, different things for the homes, that would be great. But that would be
And these things can even be built large enough to make them into community centers. I know that they've done that before in Africa with these structures.
It will depend. Remember, when we have something, we have to think about transport and money to buy it and money to transport it. That's what we have to think about. Because and then there are so many people that are losing homes. So it's just even the smaller it is for a family, and then so it'll be cheap to buy, easy to transport, and then we'll give it to single people. So that's what I feel it would be for those who are homeless right now, which is 90% of most of the population in that area.
Wow. And so what? In the next couple of months, how will they survive the rainy season when it comes?
That's what we're hoping to be the next couple of months, to do the best that can be, because it's running against time. Because
certainly, bed sheets are not going to be enough to protect them when the hurricanes come in a few months.
And they're cold at night. They're cold at night. That's the complaint, the coughing, the cold at night. And then that's the complaint I get. We're cold.
The week that the hurricane happened, I happened to be out on a cruise ship. And at the time of the hurricane, we were extremely close to Haiti. And I'm telling you, it was really cold on that ship. I've never been on a cruise. This is my seventh. I've never been on a cruise that was as cold as this one was. The cruise lines, they broke out blankets and had all of us on deck wrapped up in fleece blankets, sometimes two or three to a person because it was so cold. I can only imagine what the Haitian people are doing with temperatures as low as they were.
So that's where I'm working very hard so we can get the donations, because our team in La Vallée, we already have all the statistics, all the logistics, everything is there. We have all the statistics for each. We have 13 villages plus the one in Bisoton where you have the pictures. So there are 14 places where 90% destruction. And we have a logistic team, and then like in La Vallée, we have the governor of that state, that county. We have the mayor, And we have many different people, the priests and everybody, people that I've worked with over the years. Some of the people, the same thing, we build the hospital, build the open market. All those things are tried. So there is a big reconstruction plan. So now, they're asking for, you know, basic necessities for the people. But like I said, I work in long term. And so this is what I'm
working. How much money do you think you need to raise, say, in the next 6 months?
$1 million.
That's all. I would have thought it would be more than that.
I want more, but then if I, you know what, I have to be, I've been for 2 weeks, I think I've raised 14,000. So if I have a million dollars, and then with the tent, not expensive, we will make sure that the majority, we'll give something to the family. So, of course,
wow.
I have $1,500 million, but we do things because there is no cost to, nobody gets paid, nobody, like I said, there is a cost if I go, you know.
Yeah.
I go by my plane ticket, my food, I could say, okay, I'll use that. But 95% of it goes to the people. We go and buy the tent, we go and, you know, everything goes to the people. So that's why the cost is, how much does it cost? And we just give lunch to the people. That's one thing of many work things I've done that didn't cost money, because the people are willing to do it themselves. You don't have to pay for them to do it.
Right.
They will help. Right. They will help others. They will put it. So if we have the tent, we have people living in it. So the cost, if I have that money, you will see. And
what are you doing to raise the money now?
Doing things like that, doing talk shows and going and speaking with people, sending emails and asking people like you to send it, forward it, to give a donation yourself, forward it to other people and say, we know these people are making things work. And they do what they do, like, you know, Dr. Carol, I've known her. And she's about action and results.
Is there a blog for Angels for Haiti now?
I've not. If you could help me create it.
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to help you create it. In fact, I'm sure one of my blog installers would help you to do that easily.
Oh, please do. Like I said, I'll be ready to help me do the blog, and we'll see what we're doing, what we need. I would love that.
I will be putting Nick in touch with you on the next day or so to help you do that, okay?
Thank you.
Now, before the earthquake happened, he's one of my blog installers.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to askggg.com/blog install and the number 4, blog install 4, askggg.com/blog install 4, that brings you to Nick's site. And I am certain Nick will help you get a blog up on Angels for Haiti very quickly.
Wonderful.
If we can help you with anything else from that blog to get this message out, please let me know. I will be happy to help you in any way that we can.
So will I. Absolutely.
And
I've already, I've been sending messages like crazy, and if there's any typing sounds that have come through, I apologize, but I've been furiously writing people asking for this and that and getting the word out and using So Cool and various networks to let people know.
Yes.
Fantastic.
We need to, and then when we have that blog, we'll be showing the we have pictures before. Then we can showing the rebuilding. I say rebuilding.
Right.
Bizoton and La Vallée, because I have these two areas, and then I'm having different people coming. They just like a big partnership where everybody come and see. Okay, I would like to donate money for a tent, and then we'll have the family who received it, because that's what we do. Everything is clear and open. So somebody donate the money for a tent. Oh, you know what? I'm getting ideas. Have school. They say, what should we do? Raise money for a tent. And then we'll have the tent donated by, so we'll have the people receiving it, who received it, whose family is living in it. I'm talking about the tent. Now we can have the tent, but I'm looking for the longer run where we could have those homes that can be built very quickly. Because that's permanent. So, you gave me the idea. When people ask me, what should we do, then I'm going to say, we need to have your group donate a home.
Yes, that would be a great way to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that would be a really good way to do it.
Yeah, so we can do that, and then so we'll put and then we'll put the communities that we have, and the so we'll you'll see. Okay, you do that, and every time we do it, we'll post it with the family living in it, and we see.
Oh, that would be so fantastic.
That would be
great.
Yes, because they have a connection with the people. This is from this, and this is so easy because that's what we do. That's
right.
What we do. Yes. Wonderful.
But you can't wait for Habitat for Humanity to take months to build a house. You don't have months before the rainy season. You need something that can go up really fast.
Really fast. So you
and
have
affordably,
to have,
yeah.
We have to, I don't have the opportunity, the capability or knowing how to put the words out. So it's the...
Well, that's what I'm good at. So let me help you do that.
Wonderful.
We can even make that a project for some of my students to all work together on. We'll see if we can get a few of them together to help you do that.
What, wonderful. Wonderful.
So for any of you interested in working on this, I'm going to start a new thread in the forum at directionsu.com/forum. directionsu.com/forum. And I will call this the Angels for Haiti section of the forum. And we will use it to put volunteers together to help grow this blog and get the word out and see if we can't help Dr. Carroll create the $1 million that's needed to help these people that are in such desperate need of help right now.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joel.
Now, before we learned about the hurricane, when we had made plans to have you on the show, one of the things that I really wanted to talk about was the Art Miles project that you have had a friend involved in and have had some involvement with yourself.
Yes. How it came about is that because there is no funds to have a trade school to teach the kids things we wanted, such as to be a carpenter or whatever we needed to teach them, to go to computer, there was no money. There was so much to do. We were paying... fundraising, my own personal money was paying the opening small schools just to have for them to read and write. So my friend, we met, and she said she was with the UN when they had the war in Kosovo. She was in Kosovo, and all the orphans, the mother, they killed each other, but the kids were there together, and then as orphans. So they were given on a bed sheets with the orphanage. Give them color, and they will paint, they will be so happy. Then started the Art Manual project. In 2001, I was going to go to Haiti. She said, she gave me a 12 by 5 foot canvas. She said, bring me back some painting. And then give me 25 painting. I'll do a fundraising for you in New York on September 18th. So in 2 days, the kids never seen paint in their lives, painted the 12 by 5 foot mural and give me 25 paintings. We send it to New York. It was in July. Then we had September 11. It never happened. So she always said, I promise you to do something for you. That's why she's been trying and putting him in contact with whenever she can. But since then, if you go to the site, you're going to see the kids with art, painting artists. So I have a bunch of art from the children right here. And you know what I have? I sell them for like $20. I have a print, a high-quality print for the, I think it's about 12 by 6 or 7, I have the print where the children's art to raise money also. So when we do fundraising here in San Diego, people buy the print for $20. That's another way to raise the funds. So I have children now that are artists. Also, if you look at the music, with $500, we started a school band. So the kids now are musicians. So I was looking for ways in the country where there is no money, there was no job as an artist. And, you know, as a musician, you can always learn something. So that's what I did for 9 years.
Well, and with art and music, that really helps foster creativity in the children, which me really helps them with the critical thinking skills that they need for life.
Yeah, and the kids in Haiti, in that village, they have no electricity, they have no water, no television. So they are very creative. So you should see what we accomplished in 2 days. What we accomplished, you were blown away. So before they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to have 25 paintings and 12 by 5 foot murals. And one of the gentlemen, that is one of their, we call it the Angel for Haiti. And he said, what? And when he saw it, when he saw in 2 days what we did at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because it gets dark and the kids have to walk a mile to go home. And then, of course, I had to feed them. And then they said, he cried. He said, oh, my God, when he saw what we accomplished. Oh, yes.
Well, the art I've seen on the website is absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
And part of what makes it so beautiful is the fact that kids are doing these paintings about topics like peace, and the message that comes through in the paintings is just exquisite.
Yes, yes. So that's how we have artists. I would go, last time I go to Haiti, I went to a hotel, and I saw a piece, and I said, Jean-Michel, I want to come. That's it. That's my baby. You know what I mean? Because now they are, you know, they were like 14, 15, so you say 9 years at 23, and they say, you know, they make a little money on it because, you know, so when they sell.
Selling their art.
Oh, it's just such a reward to go to a place and see a painting, and you know that kid went, and then he or she started with little crayon, you know, Crayola. Yeah.
Wow. And so isn't there a big project that the Art Miles Project is working on for this year?
Yes, we're trying to do something for September in Egypt.
And
we have one of our, I am a Peace Pet Ambassador for Haiti for that. And I have another, one of our prize student, Edgar, who is also a Peace Pet Ambassador, so the two of us. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what are you planning on doing in Egypt in September?
Oh, I don't know now because I'm focusing now more in Haiti. Because so anything that I'm doing now has to be helping the people in their emergency right now.
Gotcha.
Originally
the plan was to use this and do something in conjunction with the International Day of Peace on September 21st each year, which is sponsored by the UN.
Yes.
So I hope that can still continue because I think the children need that now more than ever before.
Yes.
After seeing all of this destruction and loss of lives, they need something peaceful in their lives.
And most probably, because Joanne is my very dear friend. She lives, she's from here, from San Diego. And, if it need be, in September 21st is long from now, yes, I will be going. And hopefully we can have one of our kids, Edgar. He's one of the prize painter that will be there with us because he's a Peace Pet Ambassador for Haiti. And then also you just give me an idea, having the children painting, and then that we do that all the time anyway. I always do something. So in July, I will go and have the children painting and then having a mural to go to. So we'll have plenty of murals with those homeless children now to do something. You call it the Day of Peace where they eat and give them all the food and have fun. So in July, I'm planning to have that in all those different. I used to do that in one village. We can have up to 1,200, 1,400 children at a time. But because now we have no transportation and everything, we'll do a little one on each village. That's what we'll do.
Oh, can you imagine how much that will mean to the children this year as compared to prior years?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, it's wonderful.
So those are the things, you guys can help. Because when you do that, we get the paint, we get the canvases, it's wonderful. I call it a day of peace, a holiday. I call it a holiday.
I remember a conversation that you and I had about 6-7 months ago where we were talking about the challenges that you would run into in trying to educate these children in Haiti. And there were things that a teacher here in the States would just never think about. Simple things, like when you would go, you'd only be able to bring one ream of paper because it's a tropical climate. The paper doesn't even sustain itself. It disintegrates.
Yes, it does.
And so how you educate these children has to be different because of those circumstances.
Yes.
You can't just plug in a computer because there's no electricity. If you want to teach them computers, you got to find a computer that doesn't need electricity.
Solar. So we have solar. So I'm sure now we are in a stage, especially things we could do last year, we couldn't even think about it because it cannot be done because of the devastation. So it might be a great way of thinking. And out of adversity will come great ideas and new beginnings. So that's what I'm hoping for.
And I'm hoping that during the rebuilding process, some of the things that you were experiencing challenges with over the last few years can help be remedied by the rebuilding. If you're going to rebuild it, why not do it a different, better way to start with?
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is that I am not alone. I have the whole community, the mayor, the old town council. By the way, I usually preside the meeting because they know I'm about actions. And then even though I might be a little bossy because, you know, I have a clear idea. And then it's difficult for when you live in a country where you can see opportunities. They can't see that. And then so they trust me. The trust, that's the thing, the trust for years, it's almost 11 years, the trust that I will make things happen. And I know what they want, and I just go when I leave and make it happen. So it's not like people. That's the thing. People say, "I'm going to go. I'm going to do that." But you don't have no connection. And those are the connections that they are priceless. And then I go. I never do what I want to do. I ask them, "What do you want to do?" They are the one who said, "We want scholarships to make the kids do better. We want." Don't feed them. They say, no, we don't have the places too expensive for the food. Give them scholarship and pay the salary of teachers.
There you go.
So that's it. So I raise money to scholarship. So the more schools, the more scholarships, especially now, there are a lot of disruptions. I could just do a lot by just giving a scholarship. And I didn't realize that when you give a scholarship Louise Hayes sent 200 kids to school a year. And we have the Louise Hayes Scholarship Fund that she sent to us. But then we have the laureates. So when you send the laureates, well, we give them money to pay for many different things. I realize the parents use it for all the other children have the opportunity to get a little piece of it. So when we give a child is to get a scholarship, and then a girl, she get a scholarship, brothers, sisters, everybody benefits from it.
And yes.
So just doing a scholarship, so I don't give money to a parent or feed a child, but usually I'm finding out some of the parents will go and buy a pig or buy a little goat, and then they raise the goat or chicken, and then that money continue to the school year to help the child. And so I'm very proud of these people because they are entrepreneurs and they work hard, very hard. Very proud people.
I know you're familiar with an organization called Kiva, and you'll find it at kiva.org.
Uh-huh.
That gives microloans. And I know a lot of people in third world countries, Haiti included, have been able to start businesses with these microloans. I mean, sometimes they're $5 to $10, and that $5 to $10 can completely launch an entrepreneurial business.
Yes.
With chickens or goats or whatever, and that makes so much difference in their lives and how they can live them.
Yes, the Codefa, the Angels for Haiti, that's what we do also. A lot of they started where we are was more advanced than everywhere any place else with literacy. We have a 90% literacy rate compared to 45%. It's because of the microloans that have been given for so many years. And then if you go to the healththroughcommunications.org website, you're going to see there is a gentleman. He passed away at 102. He was 99 when this picture was taken. He was the one who opened the first credit union at 2% interest rate and give loans so that the people can have small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, after the disruption, a lot of things, we're starting from scratch again.
Right. Wow. So, Rhonda, what else do you want to know from Dr. Carol today?
Huh?
I was asking Rhonda what else she wants to know from you today.
It's been interesting. I've also been reading a book about someone who brings education to Palestine. And I really, feel it is wonderful to feed people and give water and all those very immediate things. Education is so much the thing that can change lives and cause people to come up from their situation and bring us to peace as well. So as you move forward, what I would love to know is just the big dream that you have for what you choose to accomplish with all of your life work through these various projects. What is your big dream?
My big dream, which is even, it's a lot, just at least to go back to where we were before the earthquake in a short time.
Mm-hmm.
For the next year, for that all the people, thousands of them in our area that we've helped fix the hospital, fix the homes that were built and have within a year, or even if we can, within before the rainy season, have these being built. We're not building them, but give them some comfortable shelter so they're not exposed against the elements. And
uh-huh.
then going back again, schools and infrastructure that have been destroyed, the markets, rebuild them. Because what happened is they have the blocks. They do have the materials. You just have to put them together again in a safe way and continue with continue what we've been doing that have been working, giving education, a trade. And then now we have to change your way of thinking, because now for years to come, if you're a carpenter, if you're a building skills, you will be able to make a living. So it's training the kids, put them on site to learn a trade so they will have a job.
And that will make such a huge difference for those kids.
Yes. Yes. And
really changing them for life.
And of course, we have our medical team that's there, and that's Dr. Renee. Because I said I want to spend my energy not in doing medicine in a limited area that sometimes can be very frustrating, because there are much things you can do. Remember, you get the person out of a hole, but then you cannot take care of her like the little girl, and she died. So I don't like. For me, my energy is spent more in spending very little to affect a lot of people. I don't concentrate in medicine. It's doing a lot for one person. That's Dr. Winnie, the other angel portion of it. So I do. My question is now: when we go, the water. What is the water system? How do we fix? We build where we have the spring water. So we fix it. We fix whatever has been destroyed. It's in basic infrastructure that's going to be helping a lot of people. That's how I work.
And it's great. One thing that's important is that you're talking about working from your strength and where you can best be of service, and that's really, really important for people to get. It's not that everybody needs to rush down to Haiti, or that everybody needs to whatever, anything, any one thing in particular. But if your gift is getting the word out, then you should do that. If your gift is field medicine, then you should do that.
Yes.
If your gift is writing, then you should do that. Whatever it is, that's where you need to be, because that's where your gifts place you in the best way to change lives and make a difference.
I'll give you an example. What you just did now, and how many people who give a donation just from that, just from your words, and just from somebody helping with the technology, you're going to make a change in the life of hundreds of people. So there are many different ways. It's just like a cake with different slices. Each person,
yep.
So not everybody watching, just say, how come you're not there? And I said, I'm a gynecologist. I'm not a trauma doctor. Why would I
right.
go there? So, but I can be spending time updating the website. I can spend time going and meeting people. People say, I'm doing a fundraising, even though it's $200. I know that we feed a bunch of people with the $200, a lot of water. So to me, and that keep them alive. So I've always know how to use my skills in the
right
way. And that's what I teach people, how to see, you know, you don't have to rush to do this just because. Where are you going then? You go stuck at the airport and don't know where to go. You don't turn your back. But the money, some people say, can I go with you? I said, no, I have no place to put you. So give me the money,
right.
The $1,500 it was going to cost for transportation. Do you know how much I could do with that?
Oh, a lot.
No, I want to go. I say, okay, thank you very much. I don't want you. So, and then we're talking about business. It's the same thing. How do you use the funds that you have strategically to make your business grow? Is this everything in life?
Right.
Yeah, that makes a big difference, that's for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. And what a joy. And I've been updating our blog post with these resources that we're talking about, so they'll be I'll post as soon as the show is over. That will be there and ready for everybody with all of these links we've been talking about. So it's what a pleasure to get to know you, Dr. Cahill. I appreciate you so much, and I'm really excited to share all of this with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to sharing. And then it's not only people will donate, but it's learning from my experience and what works. What works in helping in a small way, but helping a lot of people, many people.
Well, the more you can reach, the more leverage you really have in terms of getting to make an impact and make a difference for them.
Yes, definitely.
Huge difference. With 10 million clicks for peace, I don't know if you've ever been in our members area, but we actually created a piece of software that we have a patent pending on that allows someone to track their impact on peace. So if someone wanted to not just make donations to help out, but also wanted to refer other people who could make donations and whatnot, doing so through 10 million clicks, you can tell us that you want this marked for Angels for Haiti. We definitely have the ability to have donations marked for one organization or another, and we do that in a way that's trackable so that you can actually see what kind of an impact you and all the people you referred and all the people they referred, what kind of an impact all of you have had. And we show that by showing how many people it's helped. If it's going to be for donations that go to houses, it could show you how many houses were built. Whatever is done with that donation, it will show you inside of the members area exactly how much impact you've had.
Well,
again, you can get it at askggg.com/peace, PEACE.
Wonderful.
And I know Rick and Julian are going to get this out to our members, the recording of this call, in the next 24 to 48 hours. We really want to make sure that those members are coming and helping Angels for Haiti and your other organizations.
Thank you.
That's
and also,
right.
One thing I'm thinking is going to get the domain name Angels for Haiti, and then so I can link it so when people can tap Angels for Haiti, then we'll direct them. So if somebody could help me do that, because I don't know the technology.
You don't have the domain name angelsforhaiti.com right now?
No, she doesn't. I just noticed that.
Wow. Let me go get that right this minute. I will make sure I get that for you, Dr. Pearl, right now.
Thank you.
And that's where your blog will be.
And
yes.
Then I'll go one step further than that also. Why don't I host that on my servers for you?
Yes.
That way you don't have to worry about buying a hosting account or spending any money on that. Would that work okay?
That'll work okay. And also, and I need it to link. So if somebody type it to link to the healthfulcommunications.org.
Absolutely.
Because many people, they might type it, so they might Angels for Haiti. Then they need to, because the Healthful Communications was created in 1993 to do programs for health, education, and art and music in the U.S. And then when I started going to Haiti, And then we create the Angels for Haiti. That's part of the foundation. So because we have program in Jamaica, in Mexico, so that's the health through communication. Because I felt by educating, then you can be healthy. So
gotcha. Well, I was just looking, and I think that domain name might actually be owned by someone else. I might have to call that person and see if I can get it.
Maybe it's me. I have to.
No, it's not you. I can get angelsforhaiti.org.
That org? Uh-huh.
That I can
get.
Okay, I will get that one for you. How's that?
Sounds good.
But it's nothing.
Yes, because,
okay, so we've only got about 60 seconds left, and I want to repeat these domain names one more time.
Okay.
So we've been talking with Dr. Cahill from drcarolle.com, drcarolle.com. If you're interested in helping the people in Haiti, you can make a donation at healththroughcommunications.com. next Tuesday.
Health through communications.org.
And you'll also find that link on drcarol.com. Next week on Tuesday, February 2nd at noon Eastern, Rhonda and I will be back with our guest. I can't wait. Mark Joyner, who is going to be here to talk relationship marketing with us next week. And I am so excited about that call. Dr. Carol, thank you so very much for being here with us today.
Thank
you for all that you do for Haiti and the Haitian people. I so admire you and all that you've been able to do. And if there's anything else you can think of that Rhonda or I could do, please just pick up the phone and call, because we both really want to support you and your cause
as you
deal with the everything you're dealing with right now with this devastating issue.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye. So, Rhonda, I'll see you again next Tuesday at noon Eastern along with Mark Joyner. And everyone, mark your calendars. That is a show you do not want to miss. Mark does not do many interviews these days. And we are going to pick his brain about how relationships have allowed him to grow his 8-figure-a-year business. And I hear Mark is trying to go for 9 figures this year. So it should be an interesting call. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. And remember that it's always about serving and not selling and really making a difference for the people that you deal with. We'll see you again next week here on Blog Talk Radio, Tuesday at noon Eastern, for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.